serious that we need to deal with this morning. Amen. John chapter number 3, look with me at verse number 1. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, I've always been told all my life, when you see that verily, verily, it means, hey, pay attention. That's what that means. Hey, listen up right here. This is real important. You need to get this. If you don't get nothing else, when I say verily, verily, you need to get this. He said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell the whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, he said this three times to this man, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I'm going to stop reading right there just for a minute. I want us to look at something very important this morning. I'll give you the title of my message, Religious but Lost. Religious but Lost. Do you understand there is nothing more important than knowing where you're going to spend eternity when you die? And I don't mean to sound like I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I heard one preacher say years ago that he thought 90% of the Baptist church was lost. I don't believe that. But I do believe some people are religious but lost. Religious but lost. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying salvation is not in church meetings. You can go to revival every night of the week. You can attend every camp meeting across the country. You can go on visitation every Saturday. You can hand out gospel tracts every day. But that in itself does not make you saved. That in itself does not make you headed toward heaven. Amen. Salvation is not in church meetings. It's not in church membership. I've knocked on many a door, and people on the other side, we invite them to church and they say, oh, we're members at such and such. Membership in a church does not make you a child of God. Do you understand that? It makes you religious but not lost. Religious simply means something that you do consistently. Something you can do. You go to work religiously. Amen. You sleep religiously. From the looks of it, a lot of you eat religiously. Amen. I know a lot of religious people that are religious about a lot of things. But listen, church membership and church meetings doesn't make you saved. Amen. You need to get one thing. Yeah, listen, if you're saved and you know it, you just say amen and back me up this morning. Amen. But if there is a shadow of a doubt in your heart where you'll spend eternity, if you drop dead right here in the pew this morning, you need to get that settled today. You say, here we go, another salvation message. You got that right.
Amen.
Amen. I would hate to get to heaven and knew I had the opportunity to preach to you one more time about being sure about being saved and didn't do it and you weren't there.
Amen.
Amen. Religious but lost. Salvation is not in going to church. It's not in church membership. It is not in baptism. Amen. It's not in baptism. Hey, the church right down the street, bless their heart, it's all about baptism. It's all about baptism. If you're not baptized, if you're not water baptized, if you're not baptized in Jesus' name, you're not going to heaven when you die. No, if you have not been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not going to heaven when you die. Baptism is something we do in obedience to Christ, in following up with salvation. Baptism is something we do after we're saved. It's a testimony to show forth the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's saying, hey, I'm following Him. Amen. The old man is dead, the new man's rose. Amen. Baptism is not salvation. It's not even a part of salvation. Amen. Serving God is not salvation. Serving God is not salvation. Are you listening to me? There are a lot of people in this room, and I want to show you how possible it is. I wonder how many of you would raise your hand in testimony that you thought you were saved, and then later in life, God dealt with your heart and you realized you really were not born again and you got saved. Would you raise your hand? That's a lot of people. Oh, I forgot. I'm here to tell you that it is possible. I came to the altar as a 6-year-old boy on a double dog dare. If I remember right, Mom, I believe, oh, she's over here. If I remember right, I think Ed Ballou was preaching. I do believe Ed Ballou was preaching. He was the only preacher that ever came that I really listened to. I loved Ed Ballou. I did. I loved that man with all my heart. But he was preaching, and it got down to the altar call, and me and Roger Bush was sitting over in the back side of the church over on that side, Tim. You remember where we used to sit when we was kids? And Roger elbowed me. He said, you go in the altar? I said, no. He said, I dare you. He said, I dare you go down there and get saved. I said, I ain't going down there. He said, I double dog dare you. Well, you got to go then. I mean, you ain't a man if you turn down a double dog dare. Double dog dare caused you to jump off buildings and commit suicide and everything. Every scar on my body come from a double dog dare. Amen. So Roger double dog dared me to go to the altar. So I went. When I got to the altar, Mama piled in behind me and was praying, crying, and bawling. And Larry Day got on one side, and Kenneth Corin, the two deacons, they got down on either side of me. And one said, say this. So I said that. The other one said, say this. So I said that. I repeated everything they said. And boy, when I got done repeating what they said, Mama went to shouting. And brother, they told me I was saved. I got a New Testament with my name in it. They baptized me. Brother, that was it. And for years, I rode that. The Holy Spirit would convict me in a service just like this. The Spirit of God had moved. Something would start pounding in my heart. My hands would clutch the back of that pew. And something would tell me inside, you need to get to that altar. You need to get saved. You need to get this settled. And I'd go back to that, repeating that prayer. I'd go back to that baptism. I'd go back to that New Testament with not my name written in it. But thank God, as a 19-year-old boy at a New Year's Eve party, hallelujah, brother, the Lord came by and uninvited. Nobody even asked for Him to show up. He just came by where we was, convicted my heart. Boy, I told my little wife, we were just newlyweds. I said, honey, I'm lost and I'm going to hell. We went to Brother Jay's house and got born again, both of us right there on the same night. Thank God we got it settled. I got a serious question for you this morning. Is it settled in your heart? Do you know? Listen, if I can talk you out of your salvation, you're not saved.
That's right.
There's a preacher friend of mine who's been accused of going around the country retreading people. We don't retread. Amen. I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation. If you're saved, you know it. If you're saved, you know it. I had a lady very close to me. Boy, I'm so full this morning. Had a lady very close to me. I grew up with her all my life. She died recently. I talked to her in the hospital. Here's what she told me. She said, I tell you one thing. She said, I might have lived like hell, but I know I'm saved. That's what she told me. She said, I know that without a shadow of a doubt. She said, you preach my funeral, you know for a fact that I'm in heaven. She had that thing settled down in her heart. I don't care what your condition is. You may be right with God. You may be away from God and backslidden. But if you're saved in your heart, brother, that is a monumental thing that takes place in your life. It's not a repeating a prayer. It's not a little passive thing. It's not a baptism. It's none of that religious stuff. Religious is a form. The Bible said there's a people that has a form of religion but deny the power of God. Hey, I don't want to just have a form of religion. I want to have the master of religion. I want to have Jesus in my heart and know that if I die right now, heaven is my home. Don't you notice something about Nicodemus? This man that came to Jesus by night, he wasn't a drunk. He wasn't a drug addict. He wasn't an adulterer. Probably, to be honest with you, lived a cleaner and better life than any of us. He had over 101 rules he had to live by every day of his life. He was a Jew. Not only was he a Jew, he was a very religious man. He was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. Not only was he religious, he was respected. He wasn't just a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. A deacon, if you will. Do you believe you could be a deacon and be lost? Do you believe you could be a Sunday school teacher and not know, really know Christ as your Savior? Nicodemus didn't know. He was a member of the church, man. He was high up. He wasn't just somebody who came in 5 minutes late and sat on the back row. He wasn't a Sunday morning only kind of guy. He wasn't we call them CEOs around here. Christmas, Easter, and other holidays. It's the only time. He wasn't a CEO. Every time the doors of the temple was open, brother, he is there. He was a man in charge. He was religious. He was respected. But not only that, he was a rabbi. He was a rabbi. Let's put it in our vernacular. He's a preacher. Amen. Levi, sitting behind me, my son, surrendered to preach when he was 10 years old. Wasn't it 10? 10 years old. His first year in Bible college. He called me one Friday afternoon after chapel service in Bible college, bawling and squalling. I thought he'd got kicked out of school. I thought, that's it. They kicked him to the curb. He didn't make it 6 months. I couldn't understand nothing he was saying. I feared that phone call every day. I mean, he was there with Kyle Jones, and I thought, they'll never make it. They'll never make it in a Bible college. You know, they're going to kick him out. And finally, he calmed down enough to where I could understand him. He said, Dad, I just got saved. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa. You surrendered to preaching when you was 10 years old. I know. I think it's possible to know what God wants you to do before you know God. I know people who have fought even being saved and trusting Christ because they knew what they was going to have to do if they did. But brother, I'm glad whether he got saved as a little kid or whether he got saved his first year in Bible college, and I believe he got saved that first year in Bible college, I'm glad he got it settled. Amen. There's nothing embarrassing about making sure your salvation. Nothing embarrassing about that, brother. Hey, if I doubted mine, I'd say, Brother Freddie, come pray with me. I got to get this settled in my heart. I've been pastoring this church for 21 years. If I don't know, I want to know. I got to know. That's the most important thing in your life. You can know. Nicodemus didn't know. Nicodemus didn't know. He came to Jesus in the middle of the night. He had started to see and hear what was going on about the Lord. He believed there was something special about him. You know, there was others, brother. They were mocking and they were making accusation. They wanted to do away with Jesus. But something in Nicodemus' heart said, there's something to this. There's something to this. You ever been sitting in a service and the Lord just nudge you and say, there's something to this. You need to look a little further into this. And then you pass it off and go, nah. We had somebody leave the church one Sunday having chest pains and went right down here to the emergency room. Brother Freddie took off and went with him, if I remember right. This has been several years ago. And I believe it was a female doctor, if I remember. And the doctor came in, and Brother Freddie, just out of curiosity, it's just kind of mind he's got, sick mind. He asked the doctor, he said, can I ask you a question? He said, is it common for people to come from church having chest pains? You know what the doctor said? He said, it's very common. She said, what they find out is they're not having a heart attack, it's anxiety. That heart's palpitating and that chest is pounding. And it ain't physical heart trouble. It's spiritual heart trouble. It's not saying you need a doctor. It's saying you need Jesus. A friend of mine came to our church years ago. Brother Tim, you remember old Timmy Malden. He came to church. I begged him. I mean, boy, we coon hunted all together all our lives. And I kept begging Timmy to come and begging Timmy to come. He come one Sunday, got up during the invitation, and all but ran out the door. The following week, me and Terry Fennell went to his house. Sat down in his living room. I said, "Why'd you run out of church?" He said, "Man, I was having a heart attack." I said, "You had a heart attack?" He said, I think. I said, "You go to the doctor?" He said, "No." He said, "By the time I got in the truck, I was fine." I said, "You wasn't having a heart attack, Jack. You was having a Holy Spirit attack." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Timmy, are you saved?" He said, "Nope." I said, "If you died right now, where'd you go?" He said, "I'd go straight to hell." He said, "Boy, there goes my heart again." Right there in his living room. And he bowed right there in front of his recliner and got born again. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit dealing with your heart. Hey, I'm telling you this morning, I know it's a simple message, and I know some of you are bored with it. But hey, listen, man, we ought not to be bored when people are sitting here on the verge of dying and spending forever and ever and ever in a place called hell. What we ought to do if we know we're saved, we ought to be praying for somebody that's not sure. Nicodemus. Was a very religious man, but yet he was lost. Look with me in Luke chapter number 18. I got four of these, but I may just share with you two. Luke chapter number 18. Look with me at verse number 10. Luke chapter 18. Verse number 10. Say amen when you get there. Amen. The Bible said two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." Are you listening? That sounds like a lot of Baptists I know. Are you saved? Well, let me tell you what I do. I go to church every Sunday. I'm on the deacon board. I do this, I do that. I didn't ask you what you do. Here's this Pharisee standing here, and he's looking at this poor publican. The publican is a poor guy. He's an average guy. This Pharisee, he's the religious guy like Nicodemus. And here's what he prays. "Lord, I'm so glad I ain't like him. I'm so glad I'm better than that guy is. I'm sick of people who think they're better than somebody else." You don't look down on people around here. Amen. You turn your nose at one of these bus kids, we'll whip you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just about like a bunch of Christians, a bunch of Pharisees. Thank God I ain't like him.
Come on, preacher.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you like Jesus?
That's good, preacher.
You want to compare yourself to somebody? Compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Where did I stop reading? Verse number 11. The Pharisee stood and no. Verse number 12. 13. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Boy, that sounds more like it. That's how you get help right there.
Yes,
Jesus said, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted."
Amen.
Wow. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He was religious but lost. This Pharisee praying in the temple was religious but lost. Let's look at him. In verse number 10, we see he went to church. He went to church just like you did this morning. He got up and got ready, Probably had a big old King James Scofield Bible tucked up under his arm. Are you listening? Probably had his hair cut right. Probably didn't have no body piercings. Probably didn't have no tattoos. Probably, you know what I'm saying? He is everything you're supposed to be. Am I in here by myself? I mean, boy, he had it going on. He went down the road and people say, I bet that's a Christian. He's got the look. He walks the walk. He talks the talk. He even sounds like a Christian. Boy, that guy, I bet he's a Baptist. I bet that guy can get a prayer through. Boy, I'm going to get him to pray for me.
Amen.
He went to church. Verse number 11, he had a prayer life. He had a prayer life. I know people who are saved ain't got a prayer life.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
He went to church. He did pray. Wasn't much of a prayer. Trying to tell God how good he was.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that a foolish thing to do? Because God really knows what you are.
Amen.
You can't convince God you're something you're not. You can convince me. You can fight and cuss your wife all the way to church and put that little Sunday morning smile on your face when you come in the door and shake my hand, and I'm going to think you're a fine fella.
Yeah, come on, Richard.
You can convince me you're something you're not, but you're not going to fool God.
Amen.
And this guy's praying. He's talking to God, and he says, God, I'm glad I ain't like that jerk down there. I'm glad I ain't like that bum. He went to church. He even prayed. Could it be you talk to God already today and you don't even know Him? Well, I'd make sure. There ain't a whole lot of things you can be sure about, but your salvation's one of them. Verse number 11, out of His own mouth, He was not as other men. What are you saying? I'm saying he did right. He was not an unjust person. He was not an adulterer. He fasted twice a week. That means at least 2 days a week he went without food. Not for health reasons, for religious reasons. How many of y'all fasted 2 days this week? Are y'all listening? I tell you, this guy's doing better than most of us. Come on. He fasted twice a week. This guy's serious about his religion. He gave tithes. I know a whole lot of Baptists that don't even know what that word means. Well, it's getting quiet. I go to church. I pray. I fast. I even give money. But yet he was lost. How sad is that? I watch as these guys ride these bicycles around town. These Mormons. And them guys are serious. They're dedicated. They're committed to what they do. They give up, what, 2 or 3 years of their life, I believe? Maybe three. It's 2 or 3. They give up that time of their life just to go door to door and promote their religion. But the sad fact is they're lost. They're working twice as hard for their cause than any of us, maybe than all of us put together. I've never took 2 years off and rode a bicycle. Y'all, they're sincere. We look at them and we judge. Lord, look at them and it break our heart.
Amen.
I look at them and it make me feel guilty because I have the truth.
Yeah.
I know Christ is my Savior. I don't believe that He's Lucifer's brother. That's what the Mormon church teaches.
Amen.
That Jesus and Satan were brothers. No, God gave His only begotten Son.
That's right.
Y'all all right? We have the truth. I know the truth. And do so little. And I look at those guys doing so much, but they have no truth. You see, the thing is, they're trying to work for it. Just like the Jehovah's Witness, they're trying to earn it. You can't earn what's already been bought.
Amen.
They're religious, but they're lost. They're even, I want you to get the sense of these two guys we've read about this morning. They're more religious than we are.
Amen.
If you want to talk about religion.
Right.
I didn't say they were more saved than we are, but they're more religious than we are. Both of these guys were very religious, went to church, prayed, wasn't as other men, was not an adulterer, was not a wicked guy. Man, judging by all means of character and looking at this guy's life, you'd say, if anybody's saved, he is. You ever thought that? I remember growing up in church, Brother Tim. Remember old Shay? He was always one of them goody two-shoes. Always. Shay never did nothing wrong. He never cussed. He never went and hid behind the church and smoked with us. I mean, me and Tim was a riffraff, amen? I mean, Shay was always a goody two-shoes kind of guy. Still is goody, your brother-in-law's goody two-shoes. I always was. Now, I'll never forget, man, years after I got saved, Shay had already surrendered to preach, I believe. Went home from revival meeting one night and got saved. Very religious. He was the guy who everybody pointed at and said, now that kid right there, he'll be a preacher. Everybody in the church did. They said, now, boy, you watch that Shay. Now, he's going to be a preacher. They never said that one time about me. Not one time. Not one time was me and Tim cruising on Friday night smoking dope and Tim look at me and say, I bet you're going to be a preacher. Never happened. Never happened. Everybody pointed at Shay and said, boy, I bet that boy's going to be a preacher. You know what he was? He was religious. He lived by all the rules. He did everything he was supposed to do, but he was lost. Thank God he had sense enough when he realized it to do something about it. It's not a bad thing to be lost. The bad thing is to realize it and not do something about it. There was another guy that Jesus referred to as a rich young ruler. He came to Jesus. That's the right thing to do, isn't it? He came to Jesus. Hey, you came to church this morning. That's like coming to the Lord. Amen. Something compelled you to get up and get dressed and take a shower and come to church this morning. That's a good thing to do. He came to Jesus, but coming to Jesus ain't enough.
That's right.
That rich young ruler, he came to Jesus. He was sincere. What have I got to do to go to heaven? He was sincere. He asked the right question. He came to the right place. He even knew the scriptures. Said he had known him since he was a little boy. He said, yeah, I know the Bible. I've known it all my life. Let me tell you something. The devil knows this book.
Amen.
Just because you can quote the Romans Road, hey, I could do that before I was saved.
Amen.
I went to a Christian school. That was part of our curriculum. We had to memorize scripture and quote it every week. I could quote the Bible before I was saved.
Amen.
He knew the scriptures. He kept the commandments, he said. But when Jesus told him what he needed to do, that was too much. That was too much. I'll come to church. I'll be sincere. I'll keep the commandments, but I ain't selling all I got. You say, does Jesus want me to sell all I have? No, but he wants you to be willing to. He wants you to be willing to. He wants you to get to the place where nothing else matters.
Amen.
That night that I got truly born again, I got that thing settled in my heart, I didn't care. I wasn't at church. I was at my mother-in-law's. We were having a New Year's Eve party. We wasn't singing gospel music. Nobody preached a message. We were playing bluegrass music. And through an old song, My Little Cabin Home on the Hill, somehow God used that. And I could see Charles Williams' finger coming over that pulpit and sticking in my face. It would reach all the way to the back row. All the way. And I remember all those times I thought he was preaching, Brother Chuck, just to me. Just to me. And I realized I was lost. And I began to weep right in front of my buddies. Right in front of my friends. Right in front of my wife. Nothing else mattered.
Amen.
The friends didn't matter. The party didn't matter. The embarrassment didn't matter. I had to know. I think about Levi. How tough that must have been. Getting up in front of his classmates in Bible school. A pastor's son, a preacher boy, studying for the ministry, and walking to that altar and saying, I got to get it settled. I got to get it settled. I got to know. Think about Brother Johnny Cash. He's not here this morning. Several years ago, Brother Johnny came down that aisle right there. And I met him at the altar, and he looked at me with tears running down his face. He said, I got to know. I got to know. You need to reach a point where you got to know. You got to know. Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you going to heaven when you die? We've looked. I didn't have you turn to the rich young ruler, but we've looked at three men who were religious. I guarantee you, if I could interview you privately and you be 100% all honest, you don't keep the Ten Commandments. Bible said all men are liars.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm not a liar. Well, how about this? If that's for me, I'm not here.
Amen.
That's a lie. You put that for sale sign on that truck in the front yard and somebody stops. Anything wrong with it? Nope, it runs great. It's perfect. Y'all listening?
Yeah.
Every one of us lie at one time or another. This guy said, I keep the commandments. These three men were doing better outwardly than many of us put together.
Right.
I thought about this little lady, Mark chapter number 5, who came to Jesus. And she's a picture of what it really takes. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 26, the Bible said she had spent all to get her problem took care of. Nobody could help her. Verse 27, the Bible said she heard of Jesus. And then she came to Jesus. In verse 28, she touched him. By faith. That touch meant something. Jesus was being thronged by a multitude. And he stopped in the middle of that crowd and he said, who touched me? I just felt virtue go. Whew. She said, if I could just get close enough.
Amen.
Just to touch the hem of his garment, I know everything will be all right. You know what that is? Faith.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Faith. She truly believed if she could get to him, it'd be okay. That night I got saved. If you're saved, the day or night you got saved, whenever, wherever it was by faith. Something in your heart said, if I can just get to him,
amen,
everything will be okay. I like Brother Freddie's testimony. He always tells he got saved the first time he ever heard the gospel. Is that right? First time he ever heard the gospel. Boy, he realized that thing. Some of us have heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it till we're numb to it.
Amen.
This little lady heard about Jesus and said, well, these doctors ain't been able to help me. Listen, maybe you're at the place where religion hadn't been able to help you. Going to church ain't helped you. Getting baptized ain't helped you. She heard of Jesus and said, boy, if I can get to him, everything will be all right. She reached out by faith and touched the hem of his garment. And immediately. Wasn't a process. It wasn't a 7-step program. Immediately, the Bible said she was made whole. W-H-O-L-E. I've always said I came to Jesus with a hole and left whole. I came to him with a H-O-L-E. There was something missing. You know why we have potholes? Something's missing. Some asphalt. I had something missing in my heart, in my life. But when I got up from under that pine tree in Brother Jay Bice's front yard, I went down with a H-O-L-E, but I came up W-H-O-L-E. I wasn't partway saved. I wasn't conditionally saved. I was all the way born again. Amen. All these people talking about going through all these steps and you got to go through this discipleship program, and I'm not against that, but that's not a part of your salvation. I had one lady argue me one day till she is black in the face, trying to tell me that you had, before you were truly saved, you had to give evidence of speaking in tongues. You're not saved till you have spoken in tongues. You are an outright idiot if you believe that. And I say that with all the love I can muster in my heart. There is not a verse that even hints to that in the Bible. That's what I kept telling her. Well, give me a verse. Give me a verse. Finally, she got so mad, she looked at me, and here's what she said. She said, well, I don't care what the Bible says. There's your problem. You're the authority, right? Not God. Salvation's not a process. Salvation's a gift of God. Wouldn't it be horrible if I bought, well, Levi's grown, if I bought my grandson a bicycle for Christmas and had it wrapped up under the tree, and Hayden came over and I said, here's your present, and he opened it up and it was a tire. What's this, Papa? It's a bicycle wheel. What am I supposed to do with this? I'll give you the other one next year. Next year we'll give you a frame and a seat. Next year we'll give you handlebars and a chain. Next year we'll give you some pedals, and the next year we'll give you the frame. I'd be sorry, wouldn't it? I don't think he'd appreciate that very much. I know my grandson wouldn't. God doesn't give gifts like that either.
That's right.
Have you ever went to the hospital when a baby was born and looked through that nursery window and wasn't nothing laying in that bassinet but a head? We had a baby. All I see is a head. Oh, we get in the body tomorrow. They said the legs will come next week and the arms the next week. No, man. When your baby's born, it's all there. It's a whole baby. When you get born again, it's all there. There's some growing there to do. There's some learning there to do, but the birth is whole. Jesus looked at Nicodemus, a very religious man, and said, ye must be born again. I want to say to you this morning, ye must be born again. I believe it was R.G. Lee. He was preaching a meeting. Somebody stopped him at the door after the meeting was over and said, why do you constantly preach, ye must be born again? Every time I've heard you preach, you preach, ye must be born again. Dr. Lee said, it's simple. Ye must be born again. As long as there's lost people, we're going to preach. Ye must be born again. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Ashley, y'all come. Get us a song. If you would, let's bow our heads together. Nobody looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed. I struggled with this, whether or not to even preach it this morning. But I believe with all my heart, it was exactly what God intended. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning, religious, but lost. You're not 100% sure if you died right now, heaven would be your home. We don't drag people to the altar. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing, but I sure would like to pray for you. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you just slip up your hand? Thank you so much. God bless you, fellas. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm not sure. Do not let embarrassment keep you from knowing. I don't care if you've been a member of this church since the day it was founded in the 1960s. If you're not sure, let's get it settled today. If you could just slip up your hand. Preacher, please remember me. I'm not 100% sure. I thought I was. I think maybe I am. I just don't know. The Bible said, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. Salvation's not something you have to hope for. It's not a maybe so or a think so. You can know. Is there anybody else? Preacher, remember me when you pray. God bless you. Thank you so much. I'm going to pray. Before I do, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to have these three men behind me. If they would, just go down to the altar. Brother Charles, Brother William, Levi. They've got a Bible in their hand. And I promise you, in a matter of minutes, they can help you this morning to get that settled in your heart. Don't leave today without knowing. I'm not trying to get you to join the church. I'm not trying to get you to give an offering. I just want you to know where you'll spend eternity. Get it settled today. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning in Jesus' name, thank you, God, for a good and a glorious day. Thank you for your presence that's been so felt here this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the assurance that I have in my heart, God, that I know that I'm saved. Lord, I'm not sure about a lot of things, but I am sure about that. But Lord, there's some men here this morning who are not sure. I pray you'd help them to get that settled today. And Father, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Let's just keep our heads bowed. Nobody looking around. They're going to sing. God's dealing with your heart. Why don't you come? You raised your hand and said, Preacher, I'm not sure. Why don't you come meet us right here? Let's get that settled today, right now. There is nothing worth not knowing.